Today on the first Friday of September, I think we might reflect on the Gospel for the Feast of St. Gregory, but at the same time remind ourselves that being the first Friday of the month, we can appropriately reflect on the Holy Father's intention for the apostleship of prayer for the month of September. The intention he assigned for this month is that everyone would appreciate the Holy Father's journeys throughout the world. Today's feast of St. Gregory reminds us, as the Gospel just told us, that from the Holy Father down, we are to so let our light shine before people, that they may give praise or glory to the Heavenly Father, from whom we receive the grace to give the light. The Holy Father's travels more than any other pope in history have, as I'm sure you know, been criticized by those in Rome, saying you should stay at the Vatican and take care of the desk work. Well, I'm sure he would prefer, naturally speaking, to stay home, where home for the Pope is Rome. However, it takes no great intelligence to recognize that someone had better proclaim the Gospel to the faithful. The Pope has never said so in so many words. He is too wise. But what he is doing in one country after another is what the bishops should be doing. You make a checklist of what the Holy Father told the bishops here in Chicago during his pilgrimage, as he called it, to the United States. Every single thing he told them and through them told the faithful of America is what the bishops ought to be telling the people. To receive the sacraments, and not only Holy Communion, but confession. To restore some semblance of stability to family life. To tell the faithful they are to practice chastity, and that fornication, masturbation, and homosexuality are grave sins. He told the people through their bishops that Humanae Vitae, by his predecessor Paul VI, is in effect that contraception is a grave sin. And so on down the line. That's why the Holy Father is making all these exhausting journeys throughout the world. Having said that, to make a few comments on the Holy Father's monthly intention for September, that people might appreciate his journeys, we ask ourselves, in the light of the Gospel we read, where Christ tells his followers, namely us, that we are to be the light of the world, and we are to so let our light shine before others, that people might glorify the God who gives grace to his people. What's the lesson? There are three lessons. The first lesson is that if we're going to be a light to other people, so they might glorify God for giving us the virtue, we must ourselves, first of all, be personally united with God. In other words, you don't edify others or give them the good example of practicing virtue unless we ourselves are, first of all, interiorly, intimately united with God. It is only holy people that perform holy actions, otherwise known as virtues. It is not a matter of making a careful study. Let's see. Now, which virtues will I practice today so as to edify everybody who sees me? And then from the corner of my eye watching, do they notice my virtue? The first condition to fulfill Christ's command to be a light of the world is to be interiorly, deeply, secretly, in the recesses of our hearts, be united with God, which is no cliche. Being united with God means doing the will of God, where his will becomes my will. A lady called me up from New York last night. She wanted to know how you become a mystic. You don't often get phone calls like that. So I told her that I didn't have to consult any book to say it. You're a mystic if you do the will of God. And that if he wants to, he will give you the awareness of your doing his will. The awareness of doing God's will, and the experience of that intimacy. There must be 1,000 definitions of mysticism. That's mine. So the first condition for being a light to the world is doing God's will. Second condition. We are aware, and if we're not, we should become aware, that we're always on display. Always, that's right, always. Someone is seeing us. I'd almost say someone is always watching us. Now, I suppose if the doors are closed and the blinds are down, or better, all the lights are out, then maybe, just maybe, nobody notices us. We should always so behave as though the whole world were watching us. Because most of the time, they are. Well, if that's true, and by the fundamental law of charity, I'm to give a good example to others. Well, I'd better make sure that I'm giving a good example. We have a grave duty to give others the example of virtue. So the second condition for being a light to the world is that I'm aware that the world is watching me and that I am careful. Now, this is not, we know, showing off. This is not being sure that when I drink a cup of my sangha that I carefully have the little finger facing out, as Emily Post tells us to do. And that means, according to my state of life, people expect certain things of a father or a mother, of a priest or a religious. And that I consciously watch it. I consciously seek to edify. And that doesn't mean either showing off or putting on. Actions move us. What we say deeply influences our behavior. Very well. If that's true for me, it is true for you. And if I am either scandalized by the misconduct of others or inspired by their good conduct, if I am scandalized by their misconduct, if I am inspired by their good conduct, then others, in reverse, are scandalized by my misconduct and inspired if I behave the way I should. We need it, and all the preachments in the world are useless unless the preacher lives up to what he teaches. If nothing else, the people will say, well, if what you're telling me is all that good, why has it been lost on you? And finally, besides being united with Christ, who is the light of the world, I'll give as much light to others as I am united with Jesus Christ, who is the light of the Son of God. If I am to be conscious of the fact that I am always on display as the second condition for fulfilling Christ's command, of enlightening everyone who enters my life? Certainly. I am to teach. In other words, it is not enough to just practice virtue, which is condition two. I am, according to the opportunity that presents itself, point out to people where my virtue comes from. In other words, that whatever I've got comes from the Christ by whose grace I am living. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of a conscious, deliberate, spiritual conversation. God, Christ, Mary, the spiritual life should be much more often on my lips than I am afraid for most of us it is. We can talk, I don't mean about things that are wrong or sinful, but useless things. People will leave us. It may be a moment's conversation over the telephone, or an hours long conversation with a friend, and the people will leave, and there has perhaps been not one sentence about the most important thing in life: how to please God, how much my faith means to me, what I've read or heard or seen, that is, spiritual and sanctifying, that I share with others. In other words, I am to proclaim Christ, talk about Him and the things that pertain to the kingdom of God, and speaking to you. It is a bounden duty. We should consciously plan what we're going to say, and you may be surprised, and to one another. Cultivate the art of spiritual conversation. You've got to have enough of this on your mind and living, for example, with one another. After a couple of years, we've quite exhausted what was on my mind 2 years ago. That's one reason we pray and read, in order to have something new and interesting. Who says spiritual conversation should be boring? I tell people, I am most offended when anybody that I am talking to falls asleep. When I see people in chapel dozing off, I feel guilty. To sum up, with apologies for this longer homily on the first Friday of the month, sparked by the Holy Father's intention for this month, that everyone might appreciate his journeys throughout the world. He makes his. Insofar as we can, we are to make ours. And it's not a question of traveling all over the world. It's making sure that everyone who in any way touches our lives will draw closer to God. Why? First, because we ourselves are united with God. Secondly, because we are conscious of the obligation we have to give good example. And thirdly, because we take every opportunity to speak about the things of God. Jesus Christ, you who are the life of the world, help us to bring everyone whose lives we touch closer to your Sacred Heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.